What a blessing. You know, when we first started Super Kids, there weren't any. And the reason really they started was those two kids came to the door saying, we want to learn about God. And they've been doing it now for 4 years. Praise the Lord. Well, it's wonderful you who are here today. We bless you, and especially you mothers, we call you blessed. We declare that you are all that God wants you to be and that you will have all that he wants you to have in Jesus' name. And today I want to talk to you. Message is a little different perhaps today. Sometimes it's difficult to get titles for them, but what I've called the message today is burn brightly, but don't burn out. Burn brightly, but don't burn out. Because see, I believe, and I'm sure you do too, that we're living in the probably the most exciting time there's ever been in the history of the world, because we're in the last of the last of the last of the last days. In God's time clock, in his time frame, I guess it's probably 2 or 3 minutes to midnight, really, in the culmination of all of this thing before Jesus comes back again. And I heard someone say a few weeks ago, I was listening to someone, and they made this statement, and they said, it's better to burn out than to fade away. Better to burn out than fade away. And I thought, now, that struck a chord with me, because I don't see it that way. Burnout and fade away isn't what God plans for any of us. Although I've heard Christian people use that kind of phrase, that, you know, you're better to burn out and so on. But I don't agree with that. See, burnout, it happens when you go to excesses in particular areas in your life. We need to start it, I believe, even this morning, and come to a place where we're spending more and more time telling people about Jesus. I believe we need to come to a place where we're sharing our testimony about the fact that we're saved, because you need to remember that the people around about you, at your work, in your family, in your neighborhood, they're looking at you to see if they're interested in what you've got. You represent church. You represent Christ. You represent this life that we talk about, this sweet life as the children talk about. They're looking at us, and the question really is, would they want what you demonstrate? Would they want what I demonstrate? Let's just read a scripture to start with. It's Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Thank you. And this is what it says. It's on the screen for you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now that's Jesus speaking, and it's true. And you have to remember that we need to be, I guess, culturally relevant to the lost. But at the same time, we have to retain our integrity in God's Word. It's one thing to be able to share with them and get to them, but you have to always remember that you really are a Christian. If you're born again, if you've received Christ, then you really are a Christian. And you need to present that over and above all the other things. Romans 12, which we've read so often, Romans 12 and 2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. See, as Christians, you and I, our calling is to be a reflection of Christ. We've to let the life of Christ shine brightly through us into this dim, dark world that we live in. And we live in a world, you know, that is bad and sad and all of that. And people are killing each other. I mean, if you just listen to the news over the last 48 hours, you'll find a whole family in West Australia have been murdered. I mean, 7 members of one family, 4 of them children and 3 adults, murdered. This is the world that we live in. But for us to share Christ with people, we need to share the life of Christ, not religion, not a list of rules that religion brings up. If you're trying to share with someone and you tell them, well, you can't do that and you can't do this and that's not allowed, You see, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. But not everything is expedient. The things that I used to do when I worked in the world and when I was working in clubs and pubs, all that kind of stuff, I could still do those if I want to, but just my mind has been changed. I've done what Romans 12 says. Is I'm not conformed to the world anymore. I've been transformed by renewing my mind, and now I'm proving what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. I'm trying in order to win people to Christ, to let them see Christ in me. Let them see this life flow. Not saying, here's a list of rules and regulations that come out of some religious experience that we've had. Because if you don't already know this, religion will kill you. You will never, ever live up to the religious standards that many churches try to put on you. But we need to remember that God has already done a good work in us. If we're born again, if you're born again, if you've received the Lord, He has done a good work in you. And it's important that we demonstrate this to people. We need to let this, the goodness of God, if you like, shine through us to others so they know that this is something of value, it's something of worth having. But unfortunately, not all of us, when I say all of us, I mean the body of Christ. I don't just mean the people who are here this morning. But not all of us are free enough to share this enlightenment that we have. Many people feel more comfortable being in other places other than perhaps in church, sitting at home or whatever it may be. They're afraid to tell people about the Lord. I've been in this thing now for 45 or so years, and I would say that probably most days, not every day, but most days, when we're out, if we go to the coffee club for coffee or whatever, or we just happen to be in the shops and we meet someone and we're talking to them, somewhere in the conversation, Elizabeth will introduce the Lord Jesus. She'll say, you know that Jesus heals today, or Jesus saves today. She'll always introduce the Lord into the conversation and endeavor to share something about the Lord with them. She's letting His light shine through her to other people. Because just about everyone that you meet and talk, they got problems. Just about everyone has got a difficulty and a problem that they need some help with. So we need to be able to come to that place where we, you and I, today, we're going to do more than we've ever thought we could do as far as reaching out and bringing other people to Christ. We need to live in Galatians 5, where the fruit of the Spirit tells us what we ought to be doing. We need to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. So here's a question. What impact have you made on anyone this year for good? Here we are, we're into the month of May. So we're into the fifth month. How many people have you influenced for the Lord this year? How many people have you won to the kingdom? How many people have you made an impact on? And the thing you need to remember is if you lead someone to the Lord, you then also have the responsibility to disciple them. If you lead someone to Christ and then abandon them, it's like having a baby and leaving him by the side of the street. You have a responsibility to get that person to the place so they can be taught and groomed and so on. In other words, you may just have to go out of your way and do a bit of a tour and make sure you bring him to church. Because if you don't, you're just saying, okay, now you're born again. Get out there and win. People need to be to come from a place of being babies till they grow up to become spiritually mature. That's what church is about. That's why we do these things. That's why we teach these messages for you, so you can grow up. But you need to be on the lookout when you're at school, if you're a school person, child at school, perhaps at work, in your community. Look out for people that you can share Jesus with. Now remember, the title of the message is, God wants you to burn brightly, not burn out. So God wants us to glow for Him. I can remember when the Women's at Lou program started, which was the female version of the Full Gospel Businessmen. And one time when I was in America, I think I was in Texas, if I remember, and I was in a church, and I made some comment about the Women's at Lou program, because I had been an advisor for them. And someone said, they have that in Australia too. I said, yeah, but they don't call it Women's at Lou, they call it Sheila's Ablaze. And they just smiled. They didn't fully understand that, and I wasted it on them as I did on you this morning. What am I saying? I'm saying this. It's time when we come to a place where we can do more than we ever thought we could do. We feel somehow that we're limited, and maybe perhaps today you're thinking, how can I possibly do any more than I'm doing? I mean, I'm doing as much as I can in witnessing. I'm doing as much as I can in my giving. Perhaps you may even feel you're at the point of, to use this word, burnout, seeing that's in our title. God wants you to blaze brightly, not to burn out. God wants you to be bright and not burn. But burnout can happen for a number of reasons. Just while we're talking on the subject, it could be overwork, tiredness, fatigue, disappointment, depression, all resulting in a sense of general hopelessness and emptiness, I suppose. When I was thinking about how could I present what God was putting in my heart, I began to think about King Solomon. And Elizabeth will tell you, we were watching a Christian program Friday night it was, and on one of the Christian channels, and one of the preachers get up there, and he began saying some of the things that I'd already began to formulate. And I thought, thank you, Lord. And he began to talk about King Solomon in Ecclesiastes. And it's interesting, when you begin to look at King Solomon, he had reached burnout in his life. He was the wisest man, they say. He was blessed of God in his early days, but as he got older, he started to get away from God. He started to miss going to the temple. He started to get frustrated by what he could see. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4, in the Living Bible, this is what it says. Listen to this. In my opinion, he says, nothing is worthwhile. Everything is futile. For what does a man get for all of his hard work? Generations come and go, but it makes no difference. That's a sort of a frustrated end of life burnout situation where he said, well, people just come and go and it doesn't make any difference. There's no point serving God. Why bother with all these things? This is just all a waste of time. Now, maybe you've felt somewhat like that. Let me just say this to you this morning. If you ever feel that you're coming to that sort of burnout stage or getting to that stage where you're frustrated about it all, you're exactly where the devil wants you to be. He wants you to become frustrated. He wants you to come to that place where you're thinking less and less and less and less about the things of God. You're staying away from fellowship. You're staying away from the gathering together. You're staying away from these things because you're frustrated. It's not working. Things are not working out the way you want it to work. I heard a story about a spider. Naomi won't like this because she doesn't like spiders, but she can listen to the CD later. And this is a story about a spider who built his web up in the corner of a barn where the chickens and the pigs were housed during the wintertime. The story says his web was well made and he lived a very sumptuous life. Then one day he noticed a single thread from his web was going right up to the roof of the barn, and he thought, I don't think that's doing any good, so he cut this one single thread of web, and suddenly his whole nest, his whole web just collapsed and fell down to the floor. His lifestyle was totally and completely lost because he cut that thread that connected him to the roof. Do you know people do that as far as church is concerned? They cut the thread and then they don't come to church. And their life comes crashing down because we get the phone calls saying, oh, Pastor, what do I do now? This has happened or that has happened. Well, I haven't seen you in church for 2 months. People cut the thread and then they think that, well, I'll just do it my way. Don't cut your support off from what God is doing. God is doing things in your life. Now, I'm blessed to be able to tell you that Solomon put some very good things in his writings, and that's what we look at to bring this back up to burning brightly rather than burn out. Some of the things that Solomon said, I think, are just so succinct. And this is one of the things he said. Number one, you need to maintain a balance in your lifestyle. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, a false balance is an abomination to God. Everything has to be balanced. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2, 3, and 4, there is a time to be born, there's a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. There's a time to break down, there's a time to build up. There's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. Interesting. See, your life is made up and composed of opposites. If we're going to live successfully in a balanced life the way God wants us to live, then we have to have a balanced lifestyle. Our lifestyle needs to be balanced. You can easily get out of balance. And if you cut that thread, your life can just collapse in a pile, just like the spider web. You can just collapse in a heap. Everything has to be balanced. So there has to be a balance spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, in all areas. And you will enjoy life and be more productive when you're balanced right between work and play, between being and doing, if you understand what that means, between the natural and the spiritual, between speaking and listening, between giving and receiving, and so on. See, life is made up, but we've got to be balanced in all of this. Listen to me, balanced people who are perfectly balanced, will outlast others who are not balanced. You will live longer and happier, but if you're not a balanced person, you'll never shine very bright, and you'll probably face burnout. The second thing that I see that Solomon taught was this. He taught we need to build strong personal relationships. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 12, this is what he says. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up again. And if two lie together, they will keep warm. How can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, but two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now that's the sort of little passage of scripture that would serve you well to type out or print out from your computer and put on your refrigerator. Because you can't do it alone. The Bible doesn't have very much to say to solitary saints or spiritual hermits. The Bible talks a lot about being together, not about being in isolation. God doesn't want us to isolate ourselves. He wants us to gather together. Some of the things it talks about, we need to be built together. We need to be members together. We need to be put together. We need to be joined together. We need to be heirs together. We need to be fitted together. We need to be held together. And we need to be caught up together. Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? We need each other. We need each other. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more when you see the day approaching. I started out by saying we're living in the last of the last of the last days. I don't know if you can see the day approaching. I don't know what day it's going to be, but it's not far away. Jesus is coming again. And one of the things he's going to be looking for, the Bible says, when he comes, is he going to find faith in the earth? Is he going to find faith in your life? He's coming for a church, a group of people, a bride, if you like, that's perfect, a bride that's doing what it's supposed to be doing, that has prepared itself. Revelation says the bride has made herself ready. As the church, we need to make ourselves ready for the coming of the Lord. Don't get offended by what someone says or does to you. Perhaps some Sunday morning someone tramps on your toes. It's easy, you know, just to be offended. We've had so many wonderful opportunities to be offended by the things that people have said to us as ministers. It's amazing how people just treat each other. But we need to come to that place where we're building these strong relationships within the body, building each other up, encouraging each other, giving and receiving more love, doing more than we've ever done before, giving and receiving more acceptance, just becoming what God wants us to be. Because if you try to go, now listen to me, if you try to go it alone, you will eventually burn out. You need other people. You can't do this by yourself. You need other people and you need God. We need to learn. It's time to be more involved in winning the lost. And there's a cost to winning the lost. In time, effort, finance, all of those things. That brings me to the next, number three. We need to take time and also enjoy the present. Burnout, as I said, comes from always working and never relaxing. Burnout comes from always regretting and never enjoying life. We need to come to that place. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 18, listen to this. Here is what I have seen. It's good and fitting for one to eat and drink, and one to enjoy the good of all of his labor, in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. God wants you to be satisfied in your life. He wants you to receive satisfaction from what you do. But if you're worried about the past or focused on the future, you're never going to enjoy the now. Oh, you don't understand. He did this, she did that, she said, he said. What if I do this? No, forget what's past. Forget what's coming up ahead. And live for today. Begin to live your life in Christ today and enjoy, because every day is a gift from God. He says in Proverbs 10 and 22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. God wants you to enjoy today. He wants you to have a good day, especially today. It's Mother's Day. I wonder if your mother is still alive. Have you made contact with her today? My mother's in heaven today, so I can't make contact with her. Elizabeth's mother's in heaven today. She can't make contact with her. But perhaps your mother is still alive. Maybe she lives in another state, maybe in another country. Why not make that phone call and say, hey, Mom, we love you. We're thinking about you today. We pray you have a great day. Let me bring you to number four. This is the fourth and final thing. You are not God. That may come as a shock to some of you. That may be a bit of a disappointment. You are not God. There are many things in life that you can't control, but God certainly can. He's the Creator, and He's made all things beautiful in His sight. Now, I'm going to give you a scripture that's not on the list, so you can't put this one up, Cassandra, but listen to this. Ecclesiastes 3:11 in the New Living Testament says this: God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. God has planted eternity in your heart. Think about that. We need to be living for eternity. There's a view, a vision, a dream of eternity. God has planted it in your heart. And as I said, some of you may be surprised. There are some things you can't do. There are some things that you're unable to do. So you need to recognize your limitations and begin to draw on the Word of God. Begin to draw on what the Word has to say. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, do you understand how you live? You live by inhaling and exhaling. Inhaling and exhaling. Stop either one and see what happens. See, you inhale by meditating in this word, by drawing it in. Thank you, Father. I'm reading your word. I'm meditating on it. I'm inhaling your life as I spend time in your word. That's the going in. What about the going out? Exhale is when you begin to share your concerns with the Lord by prayer. You're letting it come out again, speaking out of the abundance of your heart. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul gives this instruction, Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. For the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we breathe in the life of God from His Word, and we breathe it out again in prayer, speaking and bringing our requests to Him and praying for other people. See, God's big enough to take care of it. He's big enough to take care of any problem that you might think you have. There is no sickness that He hasn't already made provision for. I don't know if you understand this or not. He's already made for provision for sickness that they haven't discovered yet. Because there are some sicknesses out there that haven't yet surfaced. The devil has many things that he wants to do and will do in these last days. In the last 2 years, there's been that breakout of Ebola in different places in the world. That, like 10 years ago, that was unknown. 5 years ago, it was probably unknown. And you'll find that there are things that will happen in the next few months, few years, perhaps until the Lord comes, that are unknown. The doctors don't know about them yet. They've never experienced some of these things yet, but God has already made provision for them. He will take care of everything that gives you a care. You need to throw your care and worry and concern over onto Him. My last scripture for you this morning, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, which you know. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now that's simple. It says humble yourself, casting. You humble yourself by casting the worry, the care. He's the burden bearer. He's the caretaker. You give the care to Him and don't take it back again. He's big enough to look after it. So can I say this? Stop trying to do God's job. let him get on with it. I remember one time, I've told you the stories about when I visited the doctor and I had the, he said, diverticulitis. I remember this very clearly. This is a phrase that he used, because I had been to the podiatrist previously because of the accident that I had. I get calluses on one of my feet, and I found it necessary to go to the podiatrist to have treatment. And so when I'd been with this girl, the podiatrist, whom Ian knows, and I'd said with her, "Oh, I had this pain," and she said, "Oh, you must have been eating bananas." I mean, she's a podiatrist, but her assessment was you must have been eating bananas or whatever. So when I went to see the doctor, but I said, "Oh, the podiatrist told me I must have been eating green bananas or something like that," and he said, "What? She's doing my job for me? Don't you try to do God's job. Let God do His job, because He knows how to do it better than you do. God just wants you to burn brightly, not burn out. You've got to come to a place, don't burn out, but get fired up." How's that? Get fired up today to win people to the Lord. You may say, "Oh, but you know, there's members of my family and they're really not interested." You never know until you ask them. You've got to give them the opportunity to say no if they want to. You can't make the decision for them. I'm going to say that to you again. You can't make the decision for your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your father, your mother. You've got to give them the right to make the decision for themselves. They have the right to say no, and then they hang by their own tail. But you can't make that decision and say, "Oh, they wouldn't be interested." We've got to start to reach out. We've got to start to go beyond what we've been doing individually. How many people in your street have you witnessed to? There's several people in our... Elizabeth has witnessed to several of the people in our street. One lady, her name was Norma. And Elizabeth was able to lead her to the Lord. She said, "Oh, I'm interested in Buddhism. I like the peace of it." And then Jesus was introduced as the Prince of Peace. And so she received the Prince of Peace and got born again. We've talked to another man in the street. His name is Ernie, and he's had emphysema, and we've introduced the Lord Jesus to him. He said, "Nah, I'm not interested in religion." But we live the life before him, and there'll come a day when he will say, "Oh, yes, I need to know more about that." But how many people in your street have you talked to? You may say, "Well, there's only six people in my street." Okay, there's six potential people that you could witness to. Do you know what I'm saying today? See, you're all looking very worried looking. Let's get this. Are you all sure you're going to go to heaven? Some of you are not sure about this. Are you sure you're born again? Have I got the right people here this morning? All right. Praise the Lord. Well, we appreciate you. We love you. If you haven't yet made that decision for Christ, make it today. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another minute. Say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life right now. I receive you as my Savior." Ian, come finish for us this morning.